everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded on December 1st, 2016. Here's episode 23 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is flag-waving and proud American Brandon Weatherby.
And my name is regular American Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., future home of Donald Trump, not future home of First Lady Melania Trump. She's busy in New York City knitting flags because she's a patriot. Son Barron will not be here either. He's also wearing flags or something. I don't know.
Wrapped in flags. Yeah, Donald Trump really likes flags. He doesn't like burning flags.
So we're clearly leading with our story of the week.
Yeah.
Our tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. This is gonna happen now. We're like every
should we
day
open
is
with the tweet of the week?
Every I think all Americans and media should open with like, here's the tweet that the great leader wants us to talk about this week, and now it's all oblige.
All right. Well, we're gonna follow our brave and fearless ruler and say we are strongly opposed to flag burning because we want to stay citizens. What is it? You
lose your citizenship and you get a year in the slammer.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna do that. So don't burn your flags, rip up your flags, trash your flags, put them in incinerators, do those things to flags, but do not burn flags.
And don't do it just because Donald Trump said don't do it. Don't do it because the demon Cain said don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like in the mid-2000s, there was a stable called the Un-Americans. It was three Canadians, Christian, Lance Storm, and Test, rest in peace. And Test was going to light the American flag on fire because he's un-American, and Cain came back. He had been gone, I guess, and he came back, and he was like, nope, not today.
So the devil's favorite son, Cain, said, hey, don't burn that flag.
But
I'm from fire.
I'm from fire. Please do not appropriate my flames. But the libertarian Cain, in real life, probably thinks it's like it's freedom.
Do whatever, bro.
Yeah. Like,
I'm libertarian
don't tread
Cain.
You can't tread on me. You can't tread on me, light me on fire. None of this.
So there's a lot of mixed messages here, and we missed the most obvious metaphor
yes.
for the tweet of the week.
Yeah, shout out to Brian and Atlanta. Trump literally got heat with flames.
We are so into this, we didn't even notice the clear and obvious analogy.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, God.
I know.
So this is going to be a quick episode because since we've recorded, not that much has happened in the world of wrestling and politics. A lot has happened in both. Well, no, a lot has happened in the world of politics, but right now it's still in this speculative period. Trump is forming his cabinet, and that actually leads us to our next story.
Yeah, and our next couple, because he's having meetings. It's unclear what a lot of these are for. Some of them, there have been announced picks. Some haven't. Like, he just met with Linda McMahon.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
No, yeah.
Oh, my God. So we are recording this. We need to timestamp this thing. It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, November 30th. He met with Linda McMahon a few hours ago in Trump Hotel. How is this the thing? Not in Trump Hotel, sorry. There's a hotel. Anyways, yeah. It doesn't matter. He met with Linda in New York. Why? This is a reality.
Yeah.
This started as
they really
kind of a JK.
Her. It did, but they really want her in the administration. It's not clear what she's going to be. I think like U.S. trade rep is still probably available, or maybe she gets like some undersecretary thing. Who knows? But Linda McMahon will be in the administration of President Trump, hopefully, just to give us more evidence that we're not crazy.
So
that'd be really nice.
I have some friends in the quote-unquote lamestream media. Good thing I took those quotes off for us. It would have been crazy. That are like, oh, my God, you were right. And yeah. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
What? What? What?
What?
What is happening?
Yeah, I think we should, the news, there should be, like, on your TV, there should be the English language one, and you can switch to, like, Spanish or like the closed captioning, or just what, which is just stone cold. Whenever they're like, Donald Trump tweeted today, what? I think that's appropriate. I think that's the best way to watch the news.
I'm not sure if the listener at home heard these sirens that have been going off for the past minute. Usually we would have stopped recording, but yeah. I was like, no, this is completely appropriate. There's just permanent sirens now.
I mean, we're in an urban center. It's crazy.
It's a war zone. Jesus Christ.
D.C. is war.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
Trump had another meeting, too. And he had dinner.
Really quick before, okay. The reason why we're not talking more about Linda is nothing has been announced. That's why I want to timestamp this. That would clearly be the biggest story in the world of what we do, which is cover the intersections between the two.
Yes.
How is this a thing?
I would like you to say, if you have access to the WWE Network, which was used to, like a month ago, to prove that Donald Trump did know a mobster he said he didn't know, you can also go on there to see future, maybe cabinet-level person, Linda McMahon, kick good old JR right in the nads because it's still on there. And that was October 10, 2005, I think. It's on Raw, and it's how the show ends. It's a great family moment. All the McMahons are there. It's great. So the other meeting that he had, it's getting a lot of meme traffic, I have to say, which is how we measure stories now, is how good the memes are. It's the Trump era, baby. His meeting with Mitt Romney, a former critic, who now appears to be getting into Trump's good graces, so he can be Secretary of State, like a real boy.
So this happened on November 29th. The morning of November 30th, I send you an email. Mm-hmm. I go, hey, remember the Kiss My Ass Club?
Yeah.
You remember
I do remember. That would be Vince McMahon's Kiss My Ass Club.
Are you good with Photoshop? You're like, whatever. And then you just put the two photos together. Ta-da. Go to our Facebook page. Mitt Romney has joined the Donald Trump Kiss My Ass Club.
Yeah, and the only shocking thing of that is that you think that would need Photoshop to put those two pictures side by side.
I was thinking of a really classy, I'm using giant air quotes, like mid-80s WWF font meets the Trump Plaza font, like Welcome to the Club.
That's fair, yeah.
That's what I was going
for. I thought you needed like Trump's I Am Satan face on Vince's face.
No,
Romney's puckered face.
No.
Okay, yeah, I mean, and from the political angle of this, other than the Kiss My Ass Club and that is actually how you get into Donald Trump's good graces. That's how you change his mind on things. We know this from any report of how the Trump campaign worked and how the transition's working. He's doing that, and a lot of people are pointing to the hypocrisy, because that's the thing that people really care about is hypocrisy, about Trump, about Romney doing this. And I'm like, I'm not like praising the guy. There's not going to be like a Romney parade emanating from my house, but he's doing this. He's joining the Kiss My Ass Club to save the planet.
I would like to point out that 7 minutes into this episode, the craziest thing that has been said was Chris saying, there's not going to be a Romney parade in front of my house. Like, there's going to be a Romney. Anyways, I completely agree with you. This is no different. We like to look at Donald Trump in the lens of Vince McMahon. The reason why is because it makes 100% sense, and that's kind of helpful right now. And all you have to do for Mitt Romney is, what did his father do? His father worked for Nixon in his cabinet, so the world didn't go to shit. This is normal. This is what he's supposed to be doing. Yes, he has to join the Kiss My Ass Club. So what? That's the world. That's an okay thing to do. Sure, Sting didn't want to have to come to the WWE, but he wanted that Legends contract, so he has to be buried by Triple H. It's no different.
Literally with a hat. Well, not a hammer, a sledgehammer.
By his son-in-law.
Yeah.
This is how it happens, guys.
Does Jared Kushner hit all the cabinet secretaries with a sledgehammer? I'm starting to like this more. I am looking up the Kiss My Ass Club real quick while we prep for our next thing, just because, you know, it's not a bad club to be in.
No,
I mean, it's not.
You mean
great.
You want to work forever? Yeah, I'll do that. William Regal, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I mean, you're run down the list. Mick's in there, I'm pretty sure. Jim Ross.
Mick is in there.
Shane. Shane's doing all right these days. Hornswoggle, not as good, but, you know, exception proves the rule. Yeah, so, you know, the meetings and the Trump equals Vince stuff really worked, and it continues to, as we're one of the other stories that was pretty memeable this week was Jill Stein's raising money for a recount, supposedly, and then actually did, which I was real surprised. But, like, people try to make it like it wasn't a total carny act just because it had a result. Like, you go to the circus, you still see the fucking elephants. Like, just because she happened to get, like, it went through, and this wasn't a huge scam, doesn't mean the intention wasn't a scam, okay?
Were you really surprised that she raised that money?
No, because, like, Marks, man. Jill Stein Marks.
I don't know if you didn't know this, but did you know that the Electoral College isn't real? Never mind. That wasn't funny. I'm gonna, maybe I cut that. Maybe put it at the top of the show. I don't know yet. Yeah. So it's just voting on or donating with hope on Thanksgiving weekend. It was the perfect time to get these marks. It's like Survivor Series used to be a Thanksgiving tradition. Now we need to stamp some marks.
Yeah, you're around the table. You need some entertainment, something to do.
But also you don't want to, if you're in a political conversation with your family and you lean left and they lean right and you're sick of hearing it, well, I'll show you, I'll donate. Or the opposite, same thing. Or if you're like, oh, we're such a liberal family, we feel bad. What could we do? Here's the thing we could do.
Right.
Give money to a carny.
Right.
By the way, the WWE Network is available every month for $9.99 a month. It's a fantastic deal.
It's a much better deal than giving money to Jill Stein, especially since politically, this is a no-win situation. The recount, as experts have shown, and the reason the Clintons did not do this is not because they're part of the global comet ping pong Illuminati. It's because, which we can go back to.
Shout out to me, I'm the devil.
And the reason is because they're not going to actually check the stuff that could prove that Russians hacked it. It's just going to prove what we know is some votes are going to be irregular. It's not going to be 100,000 votes irregular. So all it's going to do is reinforce Trump's idea that this is a legitimate landslide, even though it's the smallest electoral margin in like forever, from landslide victories. It's like Reagan would win with like 584. He won with 306. It's not a landslide. And working the numbers of saying he's still claiming that there was rigged numbers in certain states.
Yeah, he said he would have won by millions if he chose to campaign there because he knew the electoral college existed.
Yeah. You really do have to jump through that.
So what he's saying is he exaggerates numbers.
Right. And he also said this about he would have won more, but Hillary had millions of illegals voting. Like he would have voted even.
So what you're saying is a billionaire likes to play with numbers and reality doesn't matter.
Listen, the 3 million people who were at WrestleMania 3 to see Hulk Hogan lift Andre the Giant upwards of 7,000 tons and body slam him, cause a fault line, and that happened, man.
Yeah,
those numbers are all accurate. It's in Wikipedia.
So as soon as this happened, I messaged Chris. I'm like, he's doing Vince. He's doing WrestleMania numbers. Every single WrestleMania, the attendance record is a lie.
Yeah.
The best example of this is, like Chris just said, WrestleMania 3. Why is WrestleMania 3 the most important? Well, it actually was the biggest. There was absolutely no reason to lie. But they wanted to set the all-time record for the Silverdome. So they added so many people, you can't physically break it with the amount of seats available. So when the Pope visited, they had to add extra seats to break the WrestleMania record, which was a lie. In other words, Vince McMahon and Donald Trump are really good at getting the Pope to do whatever the fuck they want him to do.
They work the Pope into a shoot. Yeah.
Ugh.
One of my favorite things this week, and we were having fun doing rudimentary Photoshops, but this one didn't even need a Photoshop. From the makers of the Donald Trump hat, I think they had a Donald Trump hat, didn't they?
It's still available.
Still available? That's going to be on clearance.
I'm going to go on HBO right now and look.
HBO Shop. It's not as good as www.shop.com. But yeah, they had my favorite show.
I can't tell if you're being like heavily sarcastic or somewhat sarcastic.
No, because I was going to say entirely sarcastic because I was about to talk about John Oliver. My least favorite show in real life, John Oliver's thing he does on HBO. Remember when he changed the election with Donald Trump? So they made hats for that to like parody the Make America Great hats. And now Bill Maher, I guess, is slightly less repugnant. He decided to make hats that are blue that say, "We're still here." And at first glance, I realized that "We're still" really looks like Russell. And it turns out "We're still here" is an anagram for "I, heel wrestler." So I'll be buying all of those hats.
These are only $9.
They're
$9.37.
That's actually a good price for a hat. Those have got to be made in China. There's no way there's an American-made hat for $9.
Give me a minute here, because now I'm really interested to see if the John Oliver hat's still selling.
Yeah, no, so I mean, this is just those are the fun ones, I think. We've been able to get people's attention with how silly this all is, and then we give them something like...
Yep, the Trump hat is still available for $15.
What do you think sells better?
Trump.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't know, because most people under 40 prefer Oliver, but there's more likely of an older hat-wearing population that will support Bill Maher. I'm going to go...
This is good market research. Maybe. On something entirely different from hats, is a guy who wears hats. So not entirely different. I was able to land
that. What a horrible segue.
Listen, they're not all gold here, buddy. Great guy, John Cena, who you will not see week to week on the WWE product right now. He's busy filming a variety of projects.
Yeah, exactly. They won't even say which one because there's so many, because he's going to be the next president after Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Well, right now, you can catch him on Total Bellas, which is an excellent show.
It's over.
Well, then watch on Divas. Hulu like I am.
You can watch him on Divas occasionally. Yes. But Total Bellas, really quick aside, even if you hate wrestling and you're listening to this for the politics stuff, watch it. It's really, really, really good. And I do not care at all about the auxiliary characters, but the four of them, the two Bella twins.
The Bellas and their fellas.
Fascinating stories about depression, about goals, about life, major life choices, children, marriage. Should we do this? Do I kind of want to die? Consumption. It's incredible. The earth. It's really fascinating.
Consumption?
Well... Daniel Bryan's green efforts, and you know, he's a big Jill Stein guy, and blah, 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 blah. But he's actually concerned about the environment, but doesn't understand the differences between... Whatever. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, great guy John Cena, earlier this week, tweeted, "Be mindful enough to know the difference between criticism and negativity. One will make you better. The other isn't worth your time. Hashtag earn the day." That was a subtweet to our president-elect. I guarantee it. Cena's too good. He did that at 7:51 a.m. He didn't do it at 3 a.m. like our president-elect. He did it at... reasonably, he's probably been up for 3 hours learning Mandarin at that point, and put out a nice little mindful tweet that hopefully...
This was the same early morning where Donald Trump was raging about the results of the votes. Reset it, millions more would have gone for me, except all those illegals.
Yeah, and that was like a big story for a minute there. I think the big thing of this, and it's the underlying thing of what we've been doing this whole time, is that Donald Trump says things to get heat. It's a shoot. It's pretend. It's a work. I always fucking do that. It's a work. Shoot is real. Work is fake. He's working you. He's trying to get a reaction, and you're giving it to him. Every time you talk about Hamilton and Mike Pence, every time, and which feels like a month ago at this point, every time you talk about, can you believe he tweeted this? Yeah, I can believe it. He keeps doing it. He is not changing his behavior. He's not going to change in a month or in 4 years or in his 12th year of his three-year term. It's just not going to happen. So if you're on the left, figure out how to deal with that. And separate the two, because you're getting worked into a shoot.
I'm working on an op-ed about that. Yeah. And I know, and I kind of tease this to you, but and we'll talk about it here really quick. The only way to combat this, I was right and wrong when we did our CQ roll call interview. I said, he's got to act like Piper. She's got to act like Piper in these debates. Mm-hmm. She didn't act like Piper. She acted like a real human being. That's a mistake. You need to be a tweener here. You need to act like Stone Cold. Why can't you be The Rock? Because The Rock you're going to have to face in 4 years. How does a tweener face Trump? You say exactly what you believe. You call out bullshit, but you never back down. You can't say I was wrong ever. What do you believe in? Drinking beer, stomping mud holes. That's it. What does that even fucking mean? It doesn't mean anything. It could be good or bad. You need to be in between. You need to be able to call bullshit when it's bullshit and actually stand up for the common man. You need to be in the middle of Dusty Rhodes and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's how you defeat Trump. It's not difficult.
Yeah, and I would say common man is not in the... like the coded language that the lamestream media uses. Oh my god, I forgot my air quotes. The working class, meaning white, working class, meaning whites. Dusty Rhodes appealed to everybody.
So did Stone Cold. Yeah. That's what Dusty we're
Rhodes,
saying.
Dusty Rhodes had the cadence of a black preacher, and he was in the South. His audience was both white and black, or whatever breakdown you want to use. And those were guys who focused literally on like pissing off the boss, fighting for the working man, and that's stuff that cuts across these lines. We don't have to be either or.
You know who did that? President Barack Hussein Obama when he campaigned in 2008. That was the whole point. That's always going to connect. That's always going to get heat, especially when you're facing Mr. McMahon. Who was Mr. McMahon's greatest opponent? Stone Cold Steve Austin!
Yeah, and you know, Democrats had a chance to send a signal. Today they had the Congressional Dems had their leadership meetings. Nancy Pelosi was being challenged by Tim Ryan.
Common man from Ohio, come on.
Who, when asked how he would deal with Trump, said this.
Let me say, if he tries to defund Planned Parenthood, if he tries to kick people off their health insurance, if they try to privatize Medicare or cut taxes for the wealthy, you know, we're going to have a Youngstown street fight in the Capitol. That's what's going to happen.
So, yeah, the guy that wanted to have the street fight, he's not going to be the guy. But, you know, he might be governor of Ohio in 2 years, so the fight continues.
Honestly, if Kasich runs against him in 2020, they're going to have the exact same point of view.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to work.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure this out. And it's not like we're just basing this in politics or wrestling. We're basing it in both because narratives are narratives. Remember that. Policies don't matter. Words and actions don't matter. Storylines matter. And I know that sounds depressing, but it's really not.
It's really not. Because, you know, storylines, when they're executed well, as they do every week on SmackDown Live and Talking Smack, which will culminate this Sunday with the Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view, which is not a pay-per-view. It's just on the network. I'm excited.
Where is it? Do you know? I don't remember.
I think it's in Dallas.
Okay, so you're not going to be there.
I will not be there.
You're going to be in New Orleans.
I will be in New Orleans. I'll probably not be watching it, but I will at some point. But okay. They're culminating. Stories look like they'll be ending. And some of those stories are ending in an interesting fashion that usually does not happen in this way. There's a women's match for the title between Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss that will be a tables match. And there will be a no DQ match between Carmella and the aforementioned Nikki Bella. And usually when these feuds between women get blown off, they haven't been no DQ or tables. They haven't been these kind of extreme type matches. But as we're seeing since WrestleMania, when they changed the nomenclature from divas just to superstars like the men, this whole divas women's revolution thing that they used to get Stephanie McMahon a lot of press, it's slowly permeating into the actual product, into what they're letting the women do. On Monday, I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, that was the match of the night. It also was two segments long.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last 20 minutes of Monday Night Raw. It was the 50th championship
fifth time,
match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte Flair. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And there was still new stuff.
And it was everything that I think the Hell in a Cell wasn't. Because the fact that Sasha didn't go through the table, no one went through the table in the Hell in a Cell, that was kind of...
I know now we're getting into the weeds, and if you don't care about wrestling, I understand. But
then you can just turn it off.
No, don't turn it off. This is really important. I disagree with you. I think not going through a table is sometimes more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks, if you don't know what she looks like, what, 5'3"?
Yeah, 100 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She looks kind of like a rag doll compared to Charlotte Flair, who's a former college volleyball player, is like 6'2". Very
she's,
tall
she's
woman. She's on the cover
she's
of Muscle and Fitness. You know what I mean? Like that. A big difference between the two of them. And Sasha was thrown into a table twice and literally rolled down both times because she's just too small. They tried to break a table with her.
Right.
Usually it's not that hard to break a table.
No. But as we saw on SmackDown, Alexa Bliss had pushed Becky Lynch through a table and she took the bump well and she weighs a little more than 100 pounds and knows what she's doing.
Yeah, and on Monday night, like we're going back to that Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, sorry, the Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks match really quick. There was a kendo stick.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Right, and because women don't usually use a kendo stick, someone needs to tell Sasha you don't hit the person in the face with them.
Right in the fucking face.
Because that's not how the kendo stick is basically two karate sticks, I guess.
It's taped to make together. A loud noise.
And it doesn't make a loud noise if you poke someone's eye out.
It was great.
Except for they're screaming and the children crying. But yeah, it was a really great match. And then there's no DQ. Nikki Bella has been feuding with Carmella and a pretty interesting feud,
I think, for a few
months. And some interesting angles on it. They're doing stuff about Nikki Bella's this kind of work shoot reality era stuff about Nikki Bella's relationship with John Cena, but they're not saying she only got there because who she sleeps with. She's just making fun of Cena and kind of bouncing it off Nikki. It's just using it as more ammo. So it's like the gender politics are a little better than they would be in the past. And this is the culmination. They fought a couple times. Carmella has jumped her about 18 times. And this is a no DQ. This is what you would do in the 70s, 80s, 90s, to end a feud. It'd be like, that's
between
it.
Between the men.
It would be like, this is it. Like, we've had a bunch of regular matches. There was cheating or something happened. This is the end of it. And so they're telling good stories. And that's the big thing that's been missing. It wasn't just the fact that for so long, for a decade, the women had the bra and panties matches. Because that ended. Like, they didn't do that forever after the Attitude Era. It was really that the women were getting 60 seconds.
You can't tell a story, and the story matters more than spots. So there's a thing called the spot. A spot is there's a thing called spot monkeys, and those are guys that are like high flyers, and you'll see them and you're like, wow, that's really interesting, that's really cool, it looks like a video game.
Yeah.
That doesn't hold your attention. The story matters. Legislation doesn't hold your attention. The story matters. It's the same thing. You need both to be a legend. You need both to win re-election. You need both to encourage millions of people to vote for you. And if you can't, well, then go to the indies. Go to the local government. I don't care. Go to your spots in the local JCC. We're busy. We need to sell to the cheap seats. We need to get messages across. It's not complicated. I'm very smart is what I'm trying to say.
I was waiting for something
there's,
that would be a good
no,
ending
there. There's no punch. I mean, it's just, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
You need to admit that and stop pretending that it doesn't matter.
Right. So everybody watch Talking Smack or just SmackDown if you like good stories and you want to see how to beat the bad guys.
Do you have any predictions? Did you want to do anything about that or no?
Pull the card up real quick. Tables, Ladders, and Chairs this Sunday night on the WWE Network. $9.99 a month. Free plugs for them. They really need it. We've got Heath Slater and Rhino tag team match against the new Wyatt family of Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Do you have any predictions on that? Do you want to see anything happen there?
I want Heath Slater and Rhino to have the belts forever.
Okay, so in the interest of telling stories, I want the Wyatt family to have them.
That makes sense.
Kalisto versus Baron Corbin in the dreaded chairs match.
This is a match that I didn't care about a month ago, mm-hmm. and now I'm interested. They've made two characters that aren't usually interesting in any way pretty interesting.
I think Baron Corbin's great. He's awesome in Talking Smack. I want him to hit Kalisto with a chair so hard he gets moved to 205 Live to a different show. Nikki Bella, Carmella, no DQ.
I want Carmella to win.
I think they need to build her as a legit challenger. And since it's no DQ, she can just be shady and shitty and and cheat out of victory. The Miz with Maryse versus Dolph Ziggler in a ladder match for the IC title.
I don't care.
Every match they've had has been really good.
They're good. I don't care. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. I could go either way on that one. Becky Lynch versus Alexa.
Becky.
Yeah.
Becky forever.
Yeah. I want to see her definitely do like a Dudley's kind of power bomb because she's going to need to use her body to put someone else through a table.
It's going
to
be great.
Yeah. And our headlining match, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs match between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose.
I want Dean Ambrose because he's a more progressive wrestler. And then on SmackDown last night, he wanted his minion to go fetch him a six-pack and some now and laters. Because at heart, he's still poor white trash.
He's having a good time.
Got to root for poor white trash.